This is September 22nd, and this month it's Back to the Basics.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. That is one of the basics. You have to realize that you are gods and goddesses, that you are gods in the making, and that this thing called God is not outside of you, God is inside of you. So, God is all there is. So if we use that expression, God is all there is, then you can't be chopped liver. You must be some part of God, or you must be God in the making. So why don't you just make up your mind that you're God in the making, and when you make a mistake or anything, just forgive yourself and go on. I was at my swimming pool. Well, I say my swimming pool belongs to the condominium. I don't want people on the internet to think that I have my own swimming pool. But I was at the swimming pool, and a young lady was asking if the people, I was not involved in the conversation, I just listened, if they thought we came back around again, had many more lifetimes and so forth. Now, I cannot answer that question because I've never met anyone that's really come back. Now, that could be a possibility. I'm not saying it's not. But she said she absolutely believes it. Now, why does she absolutely believe it? Because she said there are too many lessons to learn. And you have to keep coming back to learn these lessons. That's hogwash. There's only ever one lesson to learn. Only ever one lesson to learn. Race mind, the world, wants to tell you that there are many lessons to learn. The lesson that we're here to learn is to learn to love ourselves and learn to love everything. If you do that, then you have no more lessons to learn. Everything falls into place. Everything falls into place. So this month we were talking back to basics. And the first week we were doing what is metaphysics, and we explained that, or I explained that by saying it just means beyond the physical. It means that all things seen come from things that are not seen. The second week was the idea of mind, and what when we call mind, what are we saying about mind? Well, we're using mind along with this thing called God. We live, move, and have our being in God. We live, move, and have our being in mind. There is only one mind doing everything. And we, as individualized expressions of that one mind, are using that one mind. And one of the ways that we can prove that there is only one mind is because we all see the same thing. If we had each individual had a mind of their own, we wouldn't be seeing the same thing. You see, because you see with the mind, not your eyes. So that's one of the ways that you can prove that there's only one mind. And then last week we talked about this thing that everyone's so thrilled about called the law of attraction. And there is such a thing as the law of attraction. And you know that, and you hear that. And you hear that in race mind also, because you're all familiar with the expression, what goes round comes round. That may be race mind, but at the same time, it's metaphysical. Because what you are putting out, you are going to get back. Now, that's the whole idea of seeds. If you look at seeds, if you plant a tomato seed, you're not going to get a potato. You see? You're always going to get what you sow. Or, in the Bible, it says you will reap what you sow. So what are you sowing? What are you sowing in your own mind or in the garden of your mind? And think of your mind as a garden. And when you have the negativities and so forth that's going on in there, they're just weeds growing and trying to take over. Pull them up, for goodness sakes, and throw them out of your mind so that you can have a mind that's loaded with what you want. The best flowers, the prettiest flowers, all that. You can do that with your mind. Now, people in the theater, if you wish, You can think of your mind as the theater of your mind, because you're always putting on a play inside of your mind. And that play that you're putting on, or that movie that you are doing, is going to project on to the screen of reality. And that's all it is. You know, if you go to a movie theater before the movie starts, there's a screen there, is there not? There's nothing on that screen. But when the projector starts, it projects something onto that screen. And that is exactly what we do with our minds. We project things onto the screen of life. The screen of life is neutral. We are the ones with our thinking that decide what we are going to be watching. So here again, I use always that little thing. What do you want to look at? A flower garden, or do you want to look at a garbage? You're saying you have a choice on what you're doing. So you must realize that you are the producer, the star, the writer. You're the projector. You're everything. And then you project what you want onto the screen of life. So that's basically what the law of attraction is. And we have many things out there. We had The Secret that came around a couple of years ago, and everyone ran out and bought that book and was supposed to manifest something. But as I tell you, most of the self-help books, and especially the metaphysical books, always leave out at least the first two steps, if not the first three steps. So you never really know how to do that. And we had this discussion a couple months ago with Andy, who, when I said about the law of attraction and so forth, he was under the impression that you can put out one thought and something will come back. Well, that's true and not true at the same time, because it's done. And tonight's topic is, I have to look it up, is attitude. You have to have a combined mental attitude. You can't go from one thing to the other and just have one good thought about something. It must be a collective thing. This evening, if anyone looked at the beautiful sunset and so forth, these are the things that you have to see, and you have to say, isn't that marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? Look at this universe. Look at this earth that I live on. How gorgeous, how beautiful it is. Now you have to maintain that attitude throughout everything. So when the traffic's bad, or the prices go up, or this goes up, or that goes up, you immediately forget the beautiful world that you're living in. And you say, this world stinks. I have an aunt. I have many aunts. But this one, again, is 94. And of course, immediately she wants to say, always, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. What's happening with the world? There's so much going on, this and the other. She said, I watch the news, I do this, and all this horrible stuff's going on. Do not watch the news, people. The number one thing that, if you're in metaphysics, is do not watch the news until you are able to watch the news. And most people are not able to watch the news. Now, I told you the story about my friend Raymond Charles Barker. Your wife was familiar with a book called The Power of Decision. She had to read, and that's by Raymond Charles Barker. Raymond Charles Barker had a very large metaphysical church, religious science church in New York at Lincoln Center, and he could fill Alice Tooley Hall every Sunday. That's who Raymond Charles Barker was. Well, he would read the New York Times, the whole New York Times, and when he was finished, he would say, not a damn bit of truth in it. And that's what you have to know. Your mind tricks you when you're reading something, and you think that you're reading the truth, and you're never reading the truth, you're reading facts. By the way, Gore Vidal has a new book out. I do not remember the name of it. Gore Vidal now is 86 years old. And he said, why would you want to listen to the news? It's all fantasy. It's all fantasy. Because it has to sell. It has to do something. It's hype. It's everything. Yes, somebody may have gotten shot. This may have happened. And that may have happened. those things are going to continue to happen. Why? Because they're in consciousness, and they're in what we call race mind consciousness. But you must go back and say, look at that beautiful sunset. Look how beautiful this world is. Go to the ocean, see how beautiful that is. Look around and see the beautiful flowers and so forth. And then keep doing that till you are able to have a mental attitude that encompasses everything. So that if something negative happens, you don't go right down and give up everything. And this is why many people do not manifest. Because they can only hold it for a little while. And you have to be able to hold it. And it's a combination of everything. It's a combination of everything. And I'll also tell you a story about Robert Bitzer. Robert Bitzer, for people who don't know, he had the first church in Hollywood of religious science. And he had the first church. He was a contemporary of Ernest Holmes. And he lived to be 90-something, I think. And he was very sick at one time. And he said to me, I was so sick that I couldn't make myself do a treatment. But he said, then I remembered that every treatment I ever made was still in operation. So every time you make a treatment or an affirmation, it remains. Do not tear that apart. Do not think just because it doesn't come back to you in that instant that it didn't do anything. It is going someplace, it is doing something, and it's going to come back to you. What we're trying to do here is build a combined mental attitude where we see everything the way God sees it. That's why we're always in this process. We're trying to become God. Now, we already are that. We forget that. But we have to keep becoming God, becoming God, becoming God. Now, we may not always do that. We may not be perfect when it comes to doing those things. But you have to say to yourself, but I am perfect. And I made a mistake. And I forgive myself right here and right now for that. And you go on. But you see this whole experience of life. You see yourself in this experience of life as having a wonderful time. As having a wonderful, wonderful time. You see? Ralph Waldo Emerson said, write it on your heart that this is the best day of your life. Every day has to be the best day of your life. Write that down. Why would you want to give that up? Why would you want to give that up? Now, that other aunt that I had that lived in her 90s, who was the one who said to me, when I said to her, Aunt Catherine, how do you maintain your wonderful mental attitude and you're always on the upside of life and so forth? And she said, well, Dallas, I control my thinking. You have to control your thinking. But the other thing, her neighbor, who was much younger than she was and still working, couldn't wait to be retired. Could not wait. And she said to him, I would never wish my life away. And so many of us wish our life away. I can't wait till this ends. I can't wait till I get here. I can't wait till I do that. Don't wish your life away. Experience every moment of it. And change the moment, you see. That's what we're here for. You know, we are alchemists. And we are alchemists because we can change our moods. We can change our thoughts. We can change anything about ourselves. So we truly are an alchemist. So we take negativity and we transform it into something else. So that's what we're trying to do with our lives, is always trying to transform ourselves into what we really are. And we forget that because the world is too convincing and so is your mind. It just tears you apart constantly. Do not allow that to happen to you. and go back to the idea that there's only ever one lesson to learn. And people get so, oh, I have so many things to learn. I have so many things to learn. You only have one thing to learn, and that's to learn to love yourself. And learn to love this life that you're having, you see. A long time ago, I told you that there's only ever one problem. You only ever have one problem. And that problem is always going to be a God problem. Always going to be a God problem. What do I mean by that? I mean that if you're not getting what you want in life, if you think life stinks and so forth, it's simply because your God is too small. You must kick that God out and get a bigger, better God. And that's what we're learning in this class. That God is magnificent, that God is infinite, and that you can have a bigger, better concept of God. That God is no longer some big thing in the sky that is sending down all kinds of havoc on you. I think I told you before, I will never buy Allstate insurance because they say mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem is not everywhere. What's everywhere? God. God is everywhere. And that's what you have to remember. So that's part of this combined mental attitude. You have to know God's in there someplace. Now, you've all heard the expression, God is in the details. You know, God is everywhere. So you have to, oh, God is in there someplace in these details. If I put these together right, I'll have to see God in all of this. Regardless of what the appearance is. Regardless of what the appearance is. And I have difficulty with that myself sometimes. I think, well, that can't be. But then I have to set myself down and convince myself of that. You see, all we're doing is convincing ourselves of something. And we've convinced ourselves that this world is horrible. This is not a horrible world we live in. Never was and never will be. And for generations, since day one, people have fought that. And now that is in what we call race mind. So, we see that. And we think that that is true. Because there are more people thinking that than there are people thinking the way we want to think. Remember, this is a completely different way to go through life. And people may think you're strange because we don't buy into all that. Saying we don't buy into that. We let people be who they are. I talked to my brother the other night. He had just gotten out of the hospital and back to work, and everything's working for him. But now he's upset because my cousin, or his cousin also, Dennis, didn't tell him about something. And I said, Jack, but he doesn't have to. Well, he should have. Now that's all his story, and he's trying to make Dennis be something that he's not. See, we bring all this onto our own selves. We bring everything into our own life. So learn to stay what I call at home. Don't go into other people's minds and try to correct them on something. You have enough to correct your own self. That's that idea is, why are you pulling a splinter out of somebody's eye when the whole forest is in yours, you see. But we can see other people's things. But we never can see our own. But we forgive ourselves. The thing is, just forgive yourself and go on. And go pick yourself up and keep going till you understand that this is a wonderful world that you live in, that you learn to know that you're absolutely being taken care of. That this thing called God is never going to let you down. But we are not taught that. We are taught only if we're good and do it this way and that way, then God is going to like us. God is always going to like us. And I use this expression, and you've heard it 100 times, you'll hear it again. God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Never sits in judgment upon itself through you. When I was at home, and I mentioned this earlier in the month with my brother, I said something to him about having faith in God and so forth. And, because he had said God was doing something. And I said, no, I don't think God does that. And he said, don't be so sure of yourself. Don't be so sure of yourself, Joe. I didn't get into it with him. I didn't argue. The thing is, you must be sure of yourself. You must be sure that this thing called God is the thing itself, is what you are looking for. When you know that, then you will find that. And all that other stuff you think out there that you're looking for will disappear. Will disappear. So there's only ever one lesson to learn in this lifetime, and that is to learn to love yourself. And then the rest of it all falls into place. It all falls into place. This power, this thing that we call God, who also, you know, it has to use the law of attraction also, because the law of attraction and God are one and the same thing. So God works through the law of attraction. So we have to know that what we are thinking about, we are going to bring about, but in a combined way. That's why you say, how does that person manifest that? Look at, you know, they have a combined mental attitude about the whole thing. A combined mental attitude about the whole thing. So what you see, many people think that there is a God for money and a God for relationships and a God for this and this and that. And they can get this, but they can't get that. Well, if you can get one, you have to be able to get them all, because you're only talking about one power. One power is doing it all. There's not a God for money and a God for relationship. There's only one God doing everything. One God doing everything. Always for you, never against you. So, see beauty. See everything around you as wonderful and marvelous. Let that other stuff go. That news, as I said many times, is only 5% of what's going on in the world. Why do you want to concentrate on the 5% when the 95% is good? Now, here again, where energy goes, where mind goes, energy flows. So if you're concentrating on the 5%, your energy is going over there. Now, when your energy goes to the 5%, it multiplies itself. You see, the more ugly you see, the more ugly you see. The more beauty you see, the more beauty you see. You have to train yourself to see the beautiful things in this world and know that it's all working together for your good. For your good. You have to know that. You have to know that. So, Andy, with that said, would you turn to Scott and say, I have no complaints whatsoever.
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 And I have no complaints whatsoever. Do not have a complaining mind, people. Do not try to find fault with this world or with people or with anything. Just don't have complaints. Walk away from them. If you can't figure it out, just walk away. But don't complain about it. Go to the other direction, you see. Go and look in a different way, a different thing. That's that whole idea, metaphysically, is turn the other cheek. Doesn't mean when somebody slaps you that you turn the other cheek to be slapped again. It means you turn and look in a different direction. Turn the other cheek. It's all that means. So look for the things that you want to see in life. Look for the things you want to see in life. So let's back up a moment to this combined mental attitude. You see, everyone wants this, because this place, of course, is called prosperity and abundance, including money. So everyone wants money. Who doesn't want money? Because it's a wonderful thing to have. If you're treating for money and you have a lack and limitation consciousness, you are not going to get money, because you do not have a combined mental attitude, you see. So it's just senseless to do those things. If you think you're going to fall ill and so forth, then why, you can't be treating for help. You have to know that you're not going to do those things. Now and then treat for health, you see. Always treat for health and well-being. But know that you're continuing. Know that you're going. I had a discussion with my cousin a week or so ago. I said, it's so ridiculous when we know perfectly well that the body is always resurrecting itself. Always. New cells are coming into your body. You're rebuilding yourself constantly. So why are you getting sick and why are you getting old? Because of the appearance. We judge by appearance. We see other people doing it and we fall into step with it. And we say, oh, that's the way the world works. That's the way humans are. And so we give that idea up. Start seeing yourself differently. Start seeing yourself differently. See yourself as a God in the making. And then each day make a step towards that and see, well, what can I give up? How can I let that go? How can I not think the way that the rest of the people are thinking? And you'll see all the difference in the world. And the temptation is to say, of course, your mind wants to justify anything that's happening to you. It wants to justify because everyone else is doing it. So you say, well, look, they do it, I can do it too. No, that is not true. That is not true. Now, I'm having a little thing going on in my mind. I rented a video, and when I took it back, the man said to me, oh, I think you owe an extra day. And I said, oh, really? And then he said, oh, no, but you never do. Now, I was delighted that I didn't have $3. And I said, oh, isn't that wonderful, that $3. As soon as I left the store, I said, Dallas, that's not right. You think you got away with $3? You did not. Now, I haven't been back. When I go back to the video store, I'm going to tell him, no, I think you're right, and here's your $3. You see? Why would you do that? Why would I sell myself out for $3? But my mind said, oh, isn't that wonderful? I got away with $3. You don't get away with $3. You see? You can't. You have to police yourself. You have to do that. God's not going to hit you on the head for that. But you're going to think about it. As soon as I gave myself enough time to think about it, I said, well, that's absolutely wrong, Dallas. Now, I could explain that to other people. Oh, don't bother. It's only $3. Oh, they can afford it. So you can justify that. I cannot do those things anymore. I just cannot do those things. So don't do those things to yourself. Be honest about the whole thing. And what is $3? You see? But even if it was more than that, you cannot do that. You cannot do that. I often say to people, you gave me the wrong change. I think of, you know, other people. Oh, isn't that wonderful? I made money. You didn't make money. You've taken something from somebody. You didn't make money. Looks like it at first in your mind. My mind gets very gleeful with things like that. So you cannot do that. You have to see the movements of your mind. You have to be able to control your own thinking. You have to become that witness to your thinking so that you can build this combined mental attitude. Once you have a combined mental attitude, people, you will not have to do treatment. You will not have to do any of that stuff with this praying and so forth, because you're going to be praying without ceasing. Because your mental attitude is always, you're going to be seeing the beauty. You're going to be seeing the God in everything. You're going to be seeing the goodness in people. And that's what you want to concentrate on. The more you concentrate on that, the more you are going to receive. So, there's only one lesson in life, and that is to learn to love yourself. So how do we start to love ourselves? By knowing that we are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. With that, let's do the matter dance.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Yes. Yes, learn that you matter, and learn that you matter not only to yourself, but to you matter to this thing that we call God. Because this thing called God would be incomplete without you. God needs each and every one of us. We make up this thing that's called God because we're individualized expressions of the one mind. So every one of us is valuable. Every one of us is needed. And every one of us is here on this plane of action at this particular time because we have something to offer that only we can offer. So find out what that is that you have to offer to the world. Is it just a smile? That's fine, you see. You don't have to go out and build great big bridges or monuments, and you don't have to amass tons and tons of money and so forth, you see, to think that you're successful. The most successful people are the ones who have learned to love themselves. Those are the successful people. And then that makes life worthwhile. Because all the money in the world will not bring you happiness and peace. Wonderful to have, but it won't bring you the peace of mind that you're looking for. See, we all want to feel connected. We want to feel connected to this thing called God. We want to feel loved. You see, I had a client call me today. She was so upset because her boss does not appreciate her. I said, your boss does not have to appreciate you. You have to appreciate yourself. Where do you come up with this idea? This is an intelligent person with a good education and still thinks that the boss has to appreciate you. No, you have to appreciate the boss and appreciate the job you have and be thankful, especially in this day and age, that you have a job and that money is coming to you. And then go on from there. You see, people become very needy. And all of us, remember, it's that five-year-old little kid. We want attention all the time. We want to be told that we are wonderful and that we're whatever. Do it for yourself. Do it for yourself. You see? I have another client. Had a fight with her boyfriend. She doesn't know if he's going to make up with her or if she's going to make up. She really thinks she went over the edge this time. But she said he really deserved it because I do all the work. I said, well, where'd you get that idea that it was a 50-50? You see, the world teaches in a relationship it's supposed to be 50-50. No relationship is ever going to be 50-50. That's an out-and-out stupid thing to think. If you do the 100% of the work, you do the 100% of the work, and do not complain. Do not complain. But the world wants to tell you to keep the whole thing going. I do more work than you do. I get to do this better than, you know, whatever. No. That's not the way it works, especially in relationships. It doesn't work that way. But the world teaches you, oh, it's 50-50. It's give and take. Sometimes you're giving all, and the person's taking all, and then it reverses the other way. But you have to know and love yourself, you see. If you loved yourself, you wouldn't care what the other person was doing. If you loved yourself, you wouldn't care if the boss appreciated you. If you appreciate yourself and know you're doing a good job, you don't need somebody to tell you that. You don't need somebody to say, oh, pat you on the back. You have to learn to what? Pat yourself on the back. Pat yourself on the back. And say, geez, I did a good job and I know I did a good job. I told you the story years ago, and that's 40 by now, when I lived in upstate New York in Utica. I used to eat this little restaurant, Mama Rose's. I think she said, hey, could only do 12 people at a time. Oh, she cooked and waited the tables and did everything. And you would say to her, oh, Mama, this food is so good. She'd say, yes, I know. Yes, I know. She knew it was good. You know, she didn't need the compliment and so forth. Why we think we need all this stuff is because we don't love ourselves. We want somebody else to bolster us up all the time. Bolster your own self up. You see? The only freedom you're ever going to have is to be able to do everything for yourself and not need anybody. You know? Now, We want to be around people. We want to be nice to people and so forth. But we don't want that, oh, I need people. I need appreciation. I need them. That's, oh my God, that could wear you down. I hate to be around needy people. And here again, if you get around a needy person, please don't get into a relationship with that person. I mean, that's the most, you wonder, that'll end in disaster. Absolute disaster. You see, you have to be your own person. You have to know, I'm an individualized expression of God, and I love myself for that. And I don't need all this other stuff that people think they need. You see, you don't need, you know, all the trappings of life. All the trappings of life are wonderful. Don't get me wrong. Cars and jewelry and furs, all that stuff is wonderful. But it will not give you what you want. You know, your coat can't love you. You know, try putting on a fur coat and think it's going to love you. You may look good in it, but you have to love yourself. You have to do the loving, you see? So learn to love yourself. Make that the number one thing in your life. Concentrate on that and not all this other stuff. If you concentrate on that, then all the other stuff is going to come to you. It's going to come to you. How many people remember this? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all else will be added unto you. No one's out there seeking the kingdom of heaven. They're out there seeking every damn other thing. No, seek the kingdom of heaven. Now, how do you seek the kingdom of heaven? By learning to love yourself. You see, everyone wants to go to this place called heaven, you know. And that's a mental place, you see. You can go to heaven anytime you want. You don't have to die to do that. You know, we're taught, oh, you're going to die and go to heaven. You're in heaven right now. You have to open up your eyes. You have to take the filters off your eyes. And you have to realize I'm in heaven right now. I told this story, and I'll tell it again because I always like it. When I was a minister in Tennessee, they wanted to put me on the radio. And the owner of the radio station, the manager, said to me, do you believe in heaven? And I said, well, I most certainly do. He said, it's a geographical location. I said, well, absolutely not. He said, well, then you can't be on the radio. So I never got on the radio. Because they, well, Tennessee is the Bible Belt, and they still think that heaven is somewhere up in the sky or somewhere. I don't know where they think it is exactly, but they think it's a geographical location that you can go to. And you can go to heaven anytime you want by changing your mind, by learning to love yourself, you see? And that here again, the only time that you're in hell is when you're thinking bad thoughts. And when you're in negativity, and you don't want that. So, you can see the difference. How many people now can realize in their own body, when you're thinking a negative thought, how your body feels? You see? You can feel that, so you don't want that. You see? So you can't get, you see, that book out years ago was, you can't afford the luxury of a negative thought. And you cannot afford the luxury of a negative thought. And I use this example with a car. Cars are meant to run on gasoline, but they will run on kerosene. But they'll jump and carry on and buck and go. It won't be a smooth ride. Well, that's the same way with your life. Your life was meant to run on positive thoughts. And it runs very smoothly when it's on positive thoughts. On negative thoughts, it jumps and bucks and carries on, and it does not run like a precision machine. And now you ought to be able to feel that in your body and say, I don't have time for that, and I am not going to do that to myself, because you're just punishing yourself with those thoughts. You see? So give that up and go back to loving yourself. I have a young man who comes and goes therapy business. And the last time he came in, it was just doom and gloom, his fate. It was dreadful. And he said to me, I just don't know what's wrong. I said, well, I know exactly what's wrong. You have to love yourself back to center. You're way off center here because you're not loving yourself and you're not loving anybody else. My God, he hated everybody and everything. I said, you have to learn to love again. You have to just keep doing that till you love yourself back to center. 2 weeks ago, he came in, he had the biggest smile on the face. It completely changed. You could see, his whole demeanor was changed. His face looked beautiful and the whole works. He said to me, that worked. He said, I learned to love myself back to center. Works every time. But you have to do that. You see, I could have kicked him. It wouldn't have gotten him back onto center. I wouldn't have gotten him back onto center. You have to do that for yourself. Bring yourself always back to this center. Back to loving yourself. Back to a combined mental attitude where everything is wonderful, where you are becoming God, where you're noticing the beautiful things around you. That sunset tonight was absolutely magnificent. You have to say, that's breathtaking. That's wonderful. I'm so glad that I'm alive to be able to see that. You see, not that we're ever going to die, by the way. But we are going to transform. And when we transform, we may become the sunset, but we will not be able to see the sunset. You see. Now you're able to see this stuff. And that's what you have to realize. And you have to realize that you, incarnated on this planet, you are the one who chose to come here. And why did you choose to come here? To learn to love yourself. You chose to come here. So learn to love yourself. Only one lesson. Learning to love yourself. Only ever one problem, a God problem. Only ever one solution to that problem, God. Always going to be God, 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 God. But people want to make it money, they want to make it health, they want to make it relationship, they want to make it this and that. No, only one. Uno. That's why this thing is called unity. It's not called multiplicity. Mm-hmm. You say it's called unity, meaning one. One mind doing it all. So we use this one mind, this thing that we call the mind of God, we use it to bring into our lives what we want. To bring into our lives what we want. I listen to the FM station. 91.5. The other morning, they had an interview with Doris Day. Doris Day's 86 years old. She just put an album out that went gold or platinum or something in France. So a French correspondent was interviewing her and, of course, brought up, well, didn't your one husband beat you and didn't the other one take your money and didn't this happen to you and that happened to you? And she said, yes, all that stuff absolutely happened to me. Well, what do you do about that? She said, well, I just sit down. And I commune with God. And I say, that does not matter anymore. I am here doing what I am meant to be doing. Just set yourself down and commune with this thing called God. And don't let all this stuff. Now, Doris Day, of course, everyone knows her. And she was known as the girl next door. And she did have a horrible life, and that all that stuff happened to her, but she left it go. And she sits down, she communes with God, and she learns to love herself, or love herself back to center, The mind wants to take you down another road all the time. It wants to tell you how horrible things are. Do not let it take you down that road. Say, no, I'm not going there. I've been down there with you before. I don't like it. I've been there, done that, and bought the T-shirt. You know, don't do that to yourself. Keep yourself here in the now, in the moment. Loving yourself and knowing that constantly you are becoming God. We are already that. We just now have to realize that because we put blinders on when we came here and we started to buy into all this negativity and all this other stuff that's going on out there. And we miss life. We miss the joy of life. And we have to find the joy in life. We have to find the joy inside of us. And it is there. And every one of you knows that. So don't entertain those horrible thoughts. Get rid of them. And train yourself to be the person that you want to be. You see? Train yourself to do that. How do I want to think about this? Do I want to return that $3? Or don't I rather return that $3 to the store? I am going to return it. Will it make me feel better? Probably. It will make me feel better. But I'm not doing it because it's going to make me feel better. I'm doing it because I want to make another step towards becoming God. You see? And you won't be able to do that if you let all these little things slip by the wayside and say, oh, that's all right, and it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Remember this thing called God doesn't know the difference between $3 and $3 million. Doesn't know the difference. Only you know the difference from that. What's the difference, Scott, between $3 and $3 million?
What we think of it?
Zeros. Which are nothing. Just zeros. So. Think of those things, whatever you're doing. But forgive yourself. I cannot impress that upon you and upon myself. You just have to keep forgiving yourself because we make blunders. We make mistakes. But don't hold those against. Just say, oh, I'm going to do better the next time. And then if you don't do better the next time, you keep doing it, you keep doing it. I was telling somebody, and this is one of my own stories. You know, I smoked cigarettes for years, at least 30. I was up to 4 packs a day, you know. And I stopped many times. I stopped many times and always took it back. But every time you stop, you become stronger. And finally become strong enough that it takes. That it takes. You see. And it was Will Rogers, I believe, who said, quitting smoking is the easiest thing in the world to do. I've done it 100 times. You see. So you don't punish yourself for that. Each time you stop, it makes you stronger. And if you slip back, you stop. And eventually, your mind will release you from that habit. Will release you from that habit. But it's never going to release you from the habit if you hate yourself for doing it, if you go into negativity, you go into all that, and what a bad person I am, and I just can't. And this is a habit, and I'm obsessive, compulsive, and I'm this and that and the other thing. And you put one label on top of yourself after another label on top of yourself, and now you're all labels, you say. You're all labels. Never come to a conclusion about yourself. The only conclusion you have to come to is that you are God in the making. That is the conclusion that you must come to. The rest of that things are all worldly ideas. And they're out there, all those labels. Give up all the labels that you have about yourself. You see? Just give them up. And love yourself to this point, to this center point again, and know that everything is working the way it is supposed to in your life, that this thing called God is always for you and is always taking care of you. Then sit down and make that so. And you make that so by remembering all the times that wonderful things happened to you out of the blue that you could have never thought of. This young man, I'll go back to him a moment, that was doomy and gloomy and I out of work and everything, you know. Now he's back, everything is working, everything is going. He just got a some kind of a thing through some school or something. And I said to him, could you have ever realized that? No, he said, I couldn't have ever realized that. I said, now do you know that you're being taken care of? That you're always living in a field of total possibilities? And that this thing called God is the one that's going to be able to do that for you? He could have never thought of it. It was some women were meeting or something, and they wanted him to help, and they're going to pay him for it. And it's one of those things that you could never, his mind could never think of. You see, and that's what you have to realize. Yes, we have minds, and we can have intelligent minds. We can have all that, but whatever mind, and we are using the mind of God. But the mind that we have, it is finite, and we're talking about a mind that is infinite. And we must always take this finite mind up to the infinite mind. And people are always trying to bring the infinite down to the finite. Infinity will not fit into the finite people, but the finite will fit in to the infinity. Do you see the difference? You see the difference? Don't try to pull this down. Try to go up to it. Try to raise that. That means raising your thoughts. That means raising your thinking. Always get a bigger, better idea of yourself along with a bigger, better idea of God. Always know that what you want, you can have. You can have those things. If you don't, you'll get something that is much, much better, and you'll never remember what you wanted to begin with. So let God take over. I think I said this once before, and I just love this, and I saw it, by the way. I read all church signs as I go by churches. I always want to know what the minister's talking about. And some of them are clever, some of them are not so clever, but there was one that said, don't work harder than God. Is that not a wonderful one? Don't work harder than God. And that's what we think, we have to work harder than God. Let God do the work, for goodness sakes. Why do you have God if you're going to do it yourself? I've told you that story 100 times. People come to me, I have no idea what I'm going to say to them. But I say to myself, I know you do, God, so here we are. They came to me, I must have the answer through this thing called God. And then I'm able to help these people. But if I think I'm doing the work, forget it. One of the master teachers, Jesus, said, it's the Father within that doeth the work. It's the Father within that doeth the work. It's this thing inside of us. Outside of us is this thing called God that's doing the work. So go with the flow. Love yourself back to center. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.